on his backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open up the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven and no man in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open up the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to loose, to look thereon." Listen. Everybody said, who can really open up this thing and really tell us what's going on? Is it a theologian? Is it the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and the Bible scholars in Jesus' day and time? Is it the Pope and the Catholic man, Catholicism man? Is it, man, the Buddhists, the Methodists, the Buddhists, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Christians, Brother Arson, Pastor so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, the Pope? Who can open up the book, man, and tell us what's really going on? They say no man. No man in heaven or no man under the earth. That's why I say you can't put your faith in the wisdom of man. No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open up the book, neither to look down. And I wept much, because no man was found willing to open and to read the book, neither to look down. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book," who are you talking about? They're talking about Jesus now. It say no man could open up the book. That's what I tell you earlier, man. You know, they put our faith in the wisdom of a man, and God said, "Don't do that." And listen, man, sometimes, man, we listen to everything else that everybody else say about the Word of God instead of listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying about the Word of God. So we tune in to our philosophers, to our commentators, to Bible scholars, to prophets, to men of old, to men who interpret the scriptures and everything else like that. And man, that all has its place. Don't misunderstand. That all has its place. But I'm talking about something greater than that. All those are the histories of man, the history of Wycliffe, the history of all the commentary that you have on the Bible, you know, and all the stories and all the interpretation of it and all that. But boy, God wants to speak to you himself. And boy, he wants that to be revealed. What he say to you, the only way that can be revealed to you, man, is by the Holy Spirit. And the only way the Holy Spirit can come to the place where he has revealed to you, where he can reveal to us, because he's the only one that can tell us what's really going on. Not Matthew Henry. Thank God for him and everything else. Not Martin Luther. Not the... Who can tell us what's really going on? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. He would be able to open up the book. He the one can really tell us what's going on. So, boy, he came in the fullness of time, man. And, man, we've been preoccupied with what he did and who he is and when he came and how he came. And, boy, then missed out on what he said. That's what the devil don't ever want you as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to really distinguish the difference between who he is and what he did and what he said. You don't mind you knowing who he is and what he did, as long as you don't ever come to the knowledge of what he said. Why? Because he's the only one that can open up the book and let us know what's really going on. Who? The Lion of the tribe of Judah that prevailed to open up the book. And the Bible says in verse 7 in chapter 5, "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat up on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every last one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Watch this in verse 9, chapter 5, Revelation. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation. It don't matter who you are, black, white, men, Mexican, Oriental. It don't matter who. Every tongue, every nation, every people, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Who can tell us what's going on? Jesus Christ. That's why he came in preaching a specific message. That's why he came, and the devil don't ever want us to men come to the knowledge of what he was preaching. He don't mind us coming to the knowledge of who he is and what he did. Long as the devil don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of what he preached. What he preached? The kingdom of heaven, your inheritance that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world, your true identity, who you really are, offspring of the Most High God, with all power and authority, dominion, man, in the earth. He don't want you to come to the knowledge of that. That's why he don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of what Jesus Christ was saying, what he was preaching, what he was publicly declaring to the people, what he was advertising. He wasn't advertising him. He was advertising, man, your inheritance, what, that belonged to you, that was yours before the foundation of the world, what God had decided on and what God had wanted even before he begun to manifest it on the earth. The Bible said in Isaiah saw it this way. He said, God declared the end from the beginning. God showed you what the end even before he started. What's the end? Let's make man in our image and our likeness. Let them have dominion over all the earth. And let them reign on all the earth forever. And let it be on earth just like it is in heaven. That's the end. He showed you that in the first chapter of the Bible. The end. Then he back up man in chapter 2 and start. That's when he go into detail. He formed the body from the dust of the ground. He breathed into the body the breath of life. And the man became a living soul. And God started him off on his journey, man, on his course, on a race, man. Oh, what kind of race, man? What he doing? Becoming, man, what God said. Becoming what the word said. Becoming what God said about him. Not what Jeremiah and Isaiah and Moses and all them said about him. That was God's permissive will. But I'm talking about what God said about him from the beginning. That which was, I ain't talking about in the beginning. Like Revelation, I mean like John chapter 1, where it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm not talking about like Revelation, in the beginning God said. I'm talking about that which was from the beginning. That which, man, you know that God had decided on even before there was a it or there, before there was a when or where. What? His story, his intent, his purpose, his reason for creating man, you and I. And his reason for creating you and I that's revealed by the Holy Spirit is so that, boy, through us, his family of sons, he might establish his governing influence of his territory in heaven on the territory that he gave you and I, the earth. What's that, boy? That's the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? What God is doing. What God is doing? God is, man, establishing and re-establishing, that's a better way of saying, his kingdom back up on the earth. His will, his intent, his desire, his purpose, his original one. I ain't talking about the permissive one that you have recorded, man, in the Old Testament, in the stories of the Old Testament. That's God's means to an end. That's God's permissive will in all to get you back into his perfect will. What is his perfect will? Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. That's his perfect will for your life. It's revealed to you in Ephesians chapter 1. Right? He chose you before the foundation of the world that you should be holy and without blame, covered in his love. What do you mean covered in his love? Well, we got a lot of faults and mistakes, and we fell low, far below, and living far below our rights and privilege. And boy, if we say we're without sin, then we lie, and there's no truth in us. But what happened, boy? God covered us in his love. His love covered a multitude of sin. He loved us so much, boy, till he came himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, and man paid the penalty for all our sins so that you and I could once again be washed white as snow. For what purpose? So that the Holy Spirit, who is that? Boy, that's the educator. That's the teacher. That's the one who can reveal to us everything that Jesus said. Hallelujah. So that the Holy Spirit can once again come take up residence on the inside of you and me and get us back on course to God's original plan and intent and purpose for our lives. Was that what God is doing. The Bible says, if you seek first what God is doing, I ain't talking about what your church is doing and what your pastor is doing and what your denomination is doing. If that's all in line with what God is doing, then that's a great thing. But if it's just in line with what they're doing, outside of what God is doing, then perhaps that's just a good thing. And listen, man, that's the devil's most successful tactic against us, to preoccupy us with the good things at the expense of having the great things. So in the good things, we're trying to get what we already have. We're trying to get saved when Jesus Christ has already paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. We're trying to get here by a strife we were here. We're trying to get blessed. God said in Genesis chapter 1, man, and God blessed them. He didn't say God going to bless them, trying to bless them, want to bless them. He said, and God blessed them. We're trying to give a vision when God has supplied all our needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. We're trying to get to the destination, man, our way when God has already provided the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. We're trying to get to a place, man, where Jesus Christ had already came to this earth, man, and brought to us and put that place on the inside of us. Here we are, man, trying to get to the kingdom of heaven when the kingdom of heaven then came to us. You're trying to get saved when you're already saved. Trying to get healed, you're already healed. Trying to get delivered, we already delivered. Trying to get provision, man, we already provided for. Trying to get blessed, we already blessed. When did all this take place? That took place before the foundation of the world. And when God spoke it, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, boy, that's a done deal. In fact, it's a done deal even when it was in his heart and when it was in his mind and when it was in his thoughts, his precepts, his original ideas and thoughts. And then it became, man, a logos. What's that? That's a spoken idea, a spoken thought. That's a word then. When that word became... When that thought became a word, or when that thought became articulated, then it became, man, what the Bible called logos. Well, that's the spoken word of God. What the purpose for the spoken word of God? So that boy that by Genesis, I mean St. John chapter 1 say, in the beginning was the word of God. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. And in him, who? The word was life. And the life that's in the word, L-I-F-E, I ain't talking about human life, natural life. I'm talking about the God kind of life, the Zoe life, the eternal life, the everlasting life that's in God, that's in Jesus, that's in his word, that's in us. It's a boy, and in fact, I want to read that to you too, so that way, you know, you can get an understanding that, and the Holy Spirit can reveal that to you, what God is wanting us to know. Listen to this. Revelation, John, St. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. By who? The Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. Well, everything had its origin from what? The Word of God. I told you, boy, that's the law of life. In the kingdom of God. What? That's the word of God. Boy, when God spoke, man, things start happening. The same was in the beginning with God. All things was made by him. Who? The word. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him, who? The word was life. L-I-F-E. And the life that was in the word was the light. L-I-G-H-T. The illumination, the information, the knowledge for all men. The light, L-I-G-H-T, shined in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. Even it couldn't understand it, it couldn't oversee it, it couldn't put it out. It comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, the light that was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. I told you, it's the true light. I ain't talking about man commentaries and Matthew Henry and all the other man philosophers and all the other people, man, that you had heard from that has developed your theology or your ideology or your concepts, man. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about that light which was sent. I'm talking about that light that cometh into the world. Hallelujah. The true light, which lighted every man that come into the world. He was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Who is that? That's Jesus. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, they were receiving me to grab a hold of, to siege it, and to place it in your possession. As many as grabbed a hold of the word of life, glory to God, the word of the Most High God. As many as grabbed a hold of, who is that? That's Jesus Christ, boy. To grab a hold of what, not who he is and what he did, but grab a hold of what he was saying while he was upon his face of this earth. I tell you, that's what the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's recorded in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10. And Jesus said, the thief come but for to steal, kill, and destroy. What? The word of God out of your life. He said, but I am come, who? The word of God, so that you might have life and that more abundantly. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Hallelujah. Well, how you get that? That's belief. My son didn't ask me, he said, listen, where in the Bible where it says you got to believe to be saved? All over the Bible. It's all over the Bible. God so loved the world that whosoever would believe in his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart, man believing unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believing. He said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your whole house shall be saved. How you get all that? Through faith. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. Through faith, through belief. Everything comes through belief. As many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God, to them that believed on his name, which was born not of the will of the flesh. I ain't talking about the will of man and interpretation of man interpreting the Bible. Nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word became a human being. The word became Jesus as we know him. Who? God. Who is that? That's the word. Then what became a man? But what prayer boy so that he could reveal to you and I the truth? So that he could tell us what the truth is. Who can tell us what's really going on? He who, there's only one that can, that prepared to open up the book and to tell us, give us the revelation of everything that God is really doing. Hallelujah. By the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can only testify what Jesus said, not just what Matthew Henry said, and other commentators said, and other philosophers said, and other teachers and other people said. Paul said it this way in Galatians. He said, if anybody come bring to you any other gospel than that which we preach unto you, the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ preached, then let them be accursed. What do you say, boy? Listen. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And look what he was full of, grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, grace for grace, for grace upon grace, upon grace upon grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen the Father at any time, only the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him and made him known unto us. Who can open up the book and tell us what's really going on? Hallelujah. Nobody but Jesus. Who can reveal to us what Jesus Christ is doing and what he said? Nobody but the Holy Ghost. Who can make all that possible, man, for us to grab a hold of it and to seize and to get the fullness of the grace upon grace upon grace? The love of the Father God. So listen, in essence, that's what it said. That's what Corinthians said. It's the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. That's revealing to us, boy, what God is doing. What the greatest story that has ever been told. His story, what God is doing. And what God was doing, God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world unto himself. What he doing? Reconciling. Conciled means to make one. What he doing? Making us one again. Reconciling us. Hooking us back up to him again so that we could get in on his perfect will. Because, boy, he want to speak to you himself. He want to come and commune with you himself. He don't want you to put your faith in the wisdom of man. He wants you to know that he's a very present help, boy, in your time of need. He wants you to know that yourself. He wants you to know that you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, and that you and your whole house can be saved, heard. He wants you to know that you are a king and you are a queen, depending on what body you're in. He wants you to know that, boy, great is he that's in us than he that's in the world. He wants you to know that, boy, though your sin is like scarlet, you wash white as snow. He wants you to know that you are as holy as you ever going to be. You who he say, be ye holy. He made you holy. He created you holy, just like him. You lost that in Adam disobedience, but, boy, in Jesus Christ's obedience, that's been restored back to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who we really are. So instead of just having church and putting on good programs, which is all right, like I say, don't misunderstand me, please, you know. But, man, I'm talking about reading forward to the end, man, by being preoccupied with the means. Trying to put on good programs and have good churches and have good prayer meetings, have good this and have good that. And, man, instead of, man, finding out, boy, what this thing is really all about. What is it all about? The restoration of God's kingdom. Whose kingdom? God's kingdom. Back on the earth. What God's kingdom? What God is doing. What God is doing, the Bible says God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world back unto himself. Back unto himself. Not imputing your trespasses against you. Has forgiven you. Has washed you white as snow. Though you our sin like scarlet, he put them in the sea of forgiveness. He remembered them no more. The Bible says, for as the east is from the west, that's how far he removed them from us. But the devil will try to, man, keep us in that, man, and keep us preoccupied with that, and keep us reminding one another of that. Of our faults and of our mistakes and of our weaknesses and of our abilities. When all the time in God's eyes and everything else, man, that's in the sea of forgiveness. He don't even remember that, man, no more. But boy, the devil bring it up to us. He's the accuser of the brother, not God. God didn't come to, he said, man, there's no condemnation in to those who are in Christ Jesus. But the devil accused you. And you know how he accused you? Through the brethren. You have men, we, the brethren, the same, man, condemning one another. Accusing one another of not being worthy, man, and suitable man for use of God. When the Bible says, man, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the natural man, but after what? The Spirit, after what? The Word of God, after what he said. And what he said, let's make them just like us. And let's give them kingship, authority, dominion, power, and control. Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creeping up on the earth, over all the earth. So God created man in his image and in his likeness. Created he them. Male and female, created he them. And the Bible saying God blessed them and told them to be fruitful. That's productive. Multiply, that's produce a whole lot. Replenish, that means, boy, distributed all over man. The world, all over the earth, and subdue it, corner the market, make it all right, just like it is in him. Are you at the church trying to do this? Right. Make it in your lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven, and helping others to become that same thing? Right. Just like, man, your Father in heaven. Just like Jesus. You know, the Bible says that's why God gave the gifts to mankind, the gospel ministry. They say for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So that we can all be filled with the knowledge of God's will for our life. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, to a full stature of Christ Jesus, till we look just like him. To the same thing that he was doing upon the earth, the same purpose why God sent him, same purpose why God created us, and why Jesus sent us. Jesus said this in that clothes. He said, listen, as the Father sent me, so send now you. He said in another place, he said, as I am, so are you. The work that I do, that you see me do, so can you. The life that you see me live, so can you. How you do that? He said, you eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you have this life on the inside of you. He said, man, what else? He want us to be cannibals? He want us to eat his flesh and drink his blood? And the Bible said they couldn't understand him, man. So a lot of them turned and walked with him no more. And then he turned to his disciples and said, you going to walk with me no more either? Peter said, no, Lord, I ain't going nowhere. You got the word of life. Where else can we find this at, man? They talking about, man, this and that and everything else, but you got the word of life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He wasn't talking about eating his physical body and drinking his physical blood. He was saying, listen, the word that became a human being, he did. The word that was in the beginning, that was with God, that was God, and that all things were made by him, yeah, who the word that had life on the inside of it, and the light was the light of men, and that word became a human being, was that Emmanuel, was God with us, Jesus Christ, who the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who? He said, everybody remember, he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Eat the word. What word? Thank God for the commentaries. Thank God for all the Old Testament prophets. I ain't say don't read them and don't study. They were written aforetime for our learning, that through faith and patience, we might inherit, man, the promise. But the promise, the restoration of God's will and God's kingdom and what God is doing, man, and the knowledge of that back to our lives so we can get back on course to not what our church is doing, not what our denomination is doing, not what the Christian is doing, not what the Buddha is doing, not what Muhammad is doing, and not what all the other religions are doing, and the pagan religion and all the religions in the earth, but to get back on course to what God is doing. What God is doing, that's the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? What God is doing. What is God doing? He in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world unto himself. What God doing? He created mankind in his own image and his own likeness. What God doing? He giving up dominion, man, to operate in this earth, man, to make it on this earth, just like it is in the territory that we originated from, hell. What God is doing? He's redeeming our life from the destruction of Adam's disobedience and restoring us back to God, his original intent and plan and purpose and destiny for our life. And what's that again, Brother Arthur? That it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. And his kingdom has come, and his will is being done on earth, just like it is in heaven. All you got to do is ask God to continue to give you on a daily basis your daily bread, the daily word that will accomplish that, manifest that in your life. What? The kingdom of God, what God is doing. And in doing that, you know what the result is going to be? All of the kingdom of heaven, all the attributes of heaven, the lifestyle of heaven, the blessings of heaven, the peace of heaven, the healing, the health of heaven, all that heaven consists of, man, be added unto us on a daily basis. Listen, I love y'all, the love of the Lord, my wife, the other nine, Kingdom of Life Fellowship, World Outreach Ministry. We're located in Bunker, Louisiana. We're in the process of restructuring and rebuilding our ministry and our church building and everything else. If we could be of any blessing to you, help you to grow in the revelation of God's will for your life and the knowledge of God's kingdom in your life, then feel free to contact us at area code 713-870-3776. That's Arthur Gale of our ministry, Kingdom Life Fellowship, World Outreach Ministry. Listen, we love you. We believe God's best for your life. No weapon formed against you is going to stand. And he that has begun a good work on the inside of us, he's going to complete that thing. I decree that, I declare that, and so shall it be. And this is the plan that you have, Father. Plan to prosper, not to harm us. To give us hope in the future. So that when we call upon him, when we pray to him, he answers. And when we seek him and his kingdom and what he's doing, hey, he will answer us. And when we seek him with our whole heart, not only will he answer us, not only will we find him, but we'll find everything that he has in store for us. Listen, God loves you. We love you too. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Invite a friend to listen. And listen, God bless you. It's always in our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye-bye. Hi.
This is Pastor Arthur Levine. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family.